Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Get started with a new sermon series today called How to Respond to Uncertain Times. We all face them. We're going to start today by using a few verses from Philippians chapter 4 as a text. But first, I want to introduce, and I want to take just a few minutes to introduce this whole series. And I want to start in this way. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? All right. And even if you haven't, I think you can catch what I'm about to say. So if you have flown on an airplane, then there are certain times when the fasten seatbelt sign comes on, right? You remember that? You got to fasten up. You got to buckle up when that sign comes on. And when that sign comes on, it means one of three things. Either you're taking off, you're getting ready to land, or you're experiencing turbulence of some kind. Now, all three are critical times during a flight. I mean, the reason is they're all transitions. In the case of taking off, we're going from the ground into the sky. When we're landing, we're going from the sky back to the ground and the runway. And we know what to expect in those two, but in mid-flight, when that fastened seatbelt sign comes on, you don't know what's going on. Now, oftentimes the pilot will come on and say, hey, we're coming into turbulence. The fasten the seatbelt sign is on. Please fasten your seatbelt. Stay in your seat. But there are a few people I know who don't like to fly that well, and they have a turbulent story to share. And one of those people is Debbie Dunn. I happen to know her. And I remember a time when we were coming back from Myrtle Beach. It was March 1st, 1997. Now, the reason I remember that is because we came back through the biggest storm that Cincinnati, one of the biggest they've ever faced. In fact, it was one of the worst floods ever in downtown Cincinnati. But as we were coming down, getting ready to land, it was scary because that plane shook like it was ready to break apart. I've never experienced anything like that before. And when the captain finally turned off that fasten seatbelt sign, I was so happy. I mean, we were both just praising and saying, thank you, Lord, we made it through it. We were happy to get through that particular storm. Well, I would say, and this has happened many times in life, but I would say especially for the last 25 years since 9-1-1, for us as a nation, you could say that the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign, signifying that there's trouble ahead. Sometimes we don't know exactly what lies ahead for us, especially as a nation. I mean, the economy may surge, global peace may be attained, terrorism may be a thing of the past, and that would be just fine with me. But we could also be in many years of uncertainty. Here's what I want to do today. I want to focus on what might happen or what may be happening right now in your personal lives. Some of you may be experiencing the fasten seatbelt sign in your lives. Maybe there's trouble brewing in your home. Maybe a child is sick or in trouble. Maybe your marriage is at risk. Maybe the doctor has given you some bad news. Whatever the case, as is the situation in a jet, things may be getting just a little bit out of control when you're facing uncertain times. But the reality is we have never really been in control, have we? Oh, well, we like to think we are. And then when the reality of our situation hits, when that uncertain time comes, whatever it might be, and it's staring us right in the face, it can be frightening. Yet the good news is that most of what we are given in the scripture was written in an environment of uncertainty. I mean, this book that we have is so special. It's not just filled with feel-good messages for a utopian world in which none of us live. In here, we find God speaking directly to us about what might be described as uncertain times. And what is even more comforting is that as we read through the Bible, we see God's hand working even in the middle of uncertainty. Now, I want to share just real quickly here four examples of this in the Bible. Many of you remember the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. He found himself in a pit while his brothers were debating whether to sell him off or kill him. And then we discover as we read his story that God was with him all along. King David was awakened one morning to the rumor that his son Absalom was conspiring against him. Many of the Psalms he wrote reflect the uncertainty of those days for him. Third, the Apostle Paul believed God had called him to preach the gospel, to follow his will, yet he found himself bound and dragged into prison more than once and beaten on numerous occasions. His future was very blurry for him, and yet he's the one who writes in our text for today about what to do when uncertain times hit us. And then the final one, there was an angel who appeared to a teenage girl one day and announced to her that she was pregnant. The Bible says Mary was perplexed. How could this be? What did this mean? Well, we know the rest of that story, don't we, about Jesus. This miraculous book is filled with stories of people facing uncertainty and discovering that not only is God present in their uncertain times, but he is often diligently at work accomplishing his will in this world and in the lives of those he loves. The Bible is a book about how very much God is in control and how very much we are not in control. And that is exactly why we may not like some of the answers we find given in the Bible when it comes to responding to uncertainty. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person, I want someone to tell me, well, if you just do this, this, and this, everything will be okay. Are you there? I mean, I want it to be easy, too. I just want all the plain things, and it would get rid of it. I mean, let's be honest, we don't want to fasten our seatbelts. If we do what God wants us to do, sometimes that leaves us vulnerable. We want to find something in this book that's going to guarantee our safety. We want a cure for what's ailing us. We want a booming economy. We want a sustained rally on Wall Street. Where are those verses in God's word? As frustrating as some of the answers might be, the other options are much worse. We see so many people today, yes, I would say many of us, have not reacted in the right way to uncertain times. We overreact. During the turbulence of life, we often find ourselves overcome with worry and panic and fear. And I've never known any of these to be productive. They generally make things a little bit worse than even what we are experiencing. As far as personal relationships are concerned, when we panic in uncertain times, it seems like nobody gives us their undivided attention. We get very self-centered. As far as finances are concerned, we make decisions based on our ability to predict what the future holds. We do everything we can to try to kill the pain. So as we begin this series, don't underestimate what God says about times of uncertainty. It's not new to him. This is not an instructional manual about how to get back into control or how to get your life back to normal. It is about learning to follow through the valleys with the confidence that God is in control, that he's there with us, and that his purposes, whether it's nationally, whether it's the church, whether it's your family, or whether it's you individually, his purposes will be done. So what do? How do we face uncertain times? Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about four words, four things to do in response to uncertain times. And the first one is probably the most predictable. We pray. In fact, as we always do before we get into God's word, that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray and ask God for his wisdom and understanding as we spend a few moments in his word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, the message today and for the next 3 weeks, I believe our messages that we all need to hear regarding what we do when we face uncertain times, because I know that we have all faced those and will face them again in the future. And yet your word challenges us and encourages us about what to do during those times. Lord, I pray that you'll use me in such a way, starting today, that people will be encouraged that we'll learn what it means to pray in uncertain times. And then all the other messages that's yet to come. But Lord, one thing we know for sure, you are always there and you are always in control. And help us to remember that as we go through uncertain times in our lives. Lord, would you please bring us wisdom and understanding today as we spend these few moments in your word. And Lord, I pray that then when we go through those uncertain times, you will help us get through the anxious moments, the uncertainties, the fears that sometimes come. And help us to know that you've got this, Lord. You always have and you always will. Thank you. Help us now, Father, to make the proper applications to what we're learning to our own personal lives, and we will give you all the praise in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now, some of you may be thinking, and I can understand this, okay, Sam, I know what you're saying, that when we face uncertain times, we need to pray. Duh. That's a no-brainer, right? I mean, I know some of you may be thinking that, and that's okay. But here's what I want you to realize. Paul is referring to some things about our prayer life that we don't often think about here in Philippians 4. This message, as I was preparing it, became very challenging to me because it has to do with how we pray. And I believe it will be challenging to you too. For it is necessary, if we're going to properly respond to uncertain times, it is necessary to learn how to pray. So here are four principles to think about as we pray during uncertain times. Number one, before you pray, check your attitude. Now we know from what Paul had written earlier in this letter that these Christians in Philippi had some fears and doubts because of their uncertain times. And yet Paul writes in Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, Paul was certainly qualified to issue this command. These Christians no doubt knew the victory of faith and joy God had brought when Paul first visited Philippi. And we read about this in Acts chapter 16. And as you may remember, Paul and Silas were arrested in Philippi. Then they were put into a dungeon with their feet shackled after they were beaten. It was by no means a pleasant experience. And I'm just going to read two verses from Acts chapter 16. Verse 25, and I've preached on this many times, one of the most amazing verses to me in the Bible. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Amazing to me. Despite uncertain times, Paul and Silas were praising God and had the attention of the other prisoners. And if you keep reading, after God miraculously freed them, they were given the opportunity to teach the jailer and his family about Jesus. And verse 33 gives us the result of that. And he took them that very hour of the night, washed their wounds, and immediately he, talking about the jailer, was baptized, he and all his household. There can be no doubt that many of the Philippians Paul was writing to remembered that victory. They would know that faith in the Lord can make rejoicing in the middle of uncertain times a distinct possibility. Paul continues to discuss the importance of attitude in verse 5. His point is, don't let uncertainty impact your character. Be gracious. Don't lose your influence. Verse 5 says this, let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Now again, understand where Paul is when he writes this. He's in prison. Paul is saying that in the middle of uncertainty, don't be sucked into the same sense of gloom and doom as everyone else does. Because you as a Christian know who is in control. God hasn't gone anywhere. Paul is here referring to the church's relationship with the people living in the world, as well as those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes that phrase, gentle spirit, there can mean ready to forgive. It is the spirit of willingness to yield under trial, which will show itself in a refusal to retaliate when attacked. So we can have this attitude, this gentle spirit, when we realize that, as Paul said, the Lord is near. And for every single Christian here today, I want you to understand the Lord is near. Not only is he near, he is living with you if you're a child of God. The second principle we can learn from this passage is found at the beginning of verse 6. As you pray, do not be anxious about anything. That word anxious or worried, depending on your translation, means to be troubled or distracted by cares or fears. The context is always about the future. So Paul's encouragement here is that as we pray, we can trust in God. We don't have to be anxious or worried. God was speaking to Isaiah in chapter 41, verse 10, and here's what he writes. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. Some translations say, do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, some of us, I would dare say probably all of us, may be thinking, yeah, but I do get a little bit anxious. I do get a little bit worried sometimes. Well, when that happens, we must be willing to admit when we're becoming anxious. God wants us to share with that with him. Listen to what David says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He wrote, search me, O God, and know my heart. Put me to the test and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So as you start to pray when going through uncertain times, admit to God what you're worried about. Then notice what Paul says next. The third principle that we learn. As you pray, do it with devotion and supplication. That just simply means asking for needs. Let's look at the entire of verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading or supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now that's quite a contrast, would you agree? Paul says that the remedy for anxiety or worry is prayer. He's talking about this element, a devotion that we have to God. And then he says pleading or supplication, and that simply means asking God to meet our needs. It's okay to ask God to help us with our needs. You realize that? That's not shameful. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what God wants us to do. Now, some people may say, but I've already done that, and I'm still anxious and stressed out. Besides, nothing's happened. Nothing's changed yet. Paul's not talking here about a little, Lord, you know my needs prayer. He's not talking about emergency prayers in the car, even though they're okay. He's not talking here about the 30-second kind of prayer. He's talking about a prayer that begins with devotional thoughts, which could be things such as praising God for who he is and recognizing what he's already done in our lives, and then admitting that we need him because we can't handle what we're going through by ourselves. God loves it when we share that with him. Only then should we approach the throne of God with our pleading, our expression of needs. Along with that, notice that as we ask God for our needs, we do so with thanksgiving. Even when we're asking God for needs that may be present, we are to thank him for what we already have and thank him in advance for the answer he will give to our pleadings. So when Paul says, let your request be made known to God, the idea is not to inform God, but to discover what it is you are really after and then verbalize that to God. Learn and understand what it is you fear and what it is you desire, then tell it to God. The focus on this entire verse is on revealing what's on the inside of us. Pour out your heart to God. That's what Paul is saying. This type of praying is about placing into God's hands what only God's hands are capable of handling. So, for example, maybe you're looking for a job. What are you afraid of if you either lose your job or you need a job? Tell God about it. Lord, I need a job because if I don't get one, I'm afraid, and you fill in the blank. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. I'm afraid that if I don't get a job, I'm afraid for my reputation. God will reveal to you that he can handle that. So in your prayers of uncertainty, pray, Lord, I need you to fill in the blank. Then say, because if it doesn't happen, I'm afraid this will happen. In fact, here's what we're going to do today, something out of the ordinary. I don't normally do this, but we're going to do it at the end of the message. I'm going to give you a chance to tell God what's on your heart right now in just a few minutes. But first, there's one more principle from this passage that we need to look at. I believe it's the best one. If before you pray, you check your attitude, if as you pray, you will not be anxious about anything and pray with devotion as you petition God to meet your needs, then here's the principle that Paul says. Number four, the result of this kind of praying will be peace. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace is a peace that goes beyond the power of the human mind to understand it. It will go beyond what we can ever attain. As one commentator puts it, surpassing all of our dreams. And here's the one great thing about the peace of God. This is a peace that can come before any change in your circumstances. Now, why is this? Because it is a peace grounded in the fact that God is in control. Now, Paul uses a military term here, a metaphor, in describing the activity of God's peace. He says God's peace will guard. That means that God will stand guard over and protect our hearts and our minds. Now, the Philippians would understand this. They lived in what was known as a garrison town. There were soldiers everywhere. They would be familiar with the sight of a Roman sentry maintaining his watch over the city. And when our hearts and our minds are protected, our whole being, even to a certain degree, our physical being is safe. I just happen to believe that many Christians who suffer from symptoms of anxiety and worry is simply because they don't pray enough. Instead of saying, why pray when we can worry, we ought to be saying, why worry when we can pray? Now, many of you already know this, but let me remind you of an important truth concerning prayer. Prayer isn't so much about changing things. Prayer is about us being changed. That's why we pray. It will change us so that we learn to trust the Father with the things only He can handle. As I stated earlier, we learn to place into God's hands what only God's hands are capable of handling. But we also must be reminded, as Paul states at the end of the verse, that this peace God offers can only be enjoyed in Christ. That is, by our obedience to Him and submission to His authority. Now, we can only know His peace in New Testament terms as we first receive His grace in our salvation. The peace of God flows directly from peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who made that peace possible by the blood that He shed on the cross at Calvary. Now, Paul even amplifies this more in Colossians 3, verse 15. Here's what he said. Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your heart, and be thankful. The word rule there means to arbitrate, indicating that if we allow the peace of Christ to rule, we will be guided in our decision-making process. So are you allowing the peace of God to rule in your heart? Well, it's time to bring this message to a close. What I hope you have learned and been encouraged about is this. When the fasten seatbelt sign in your life comes on, pray. And though you go to that quiet place in hopes that the world will change, what you will find is that you will change. It is there in the lonely place that you will gain the perspective and the peace that you need to handle the uncertainties of life. Now, here's what I want to do today, a little bit different. I want to jumpstart the process for some of you. I want to pray right now. Here's what we're going to do. What is your greatest concern right now in your life? Just think about it. What is your greatest concern right now in your life? What are you afraid of if that concern isn't taken care of? Are you thinking about that? We need to pray like this, Lord. If such and such happens, I'm afraid such and such will happen. And I don't know what it is that you're going to be thinking about, but we're going to pray about it. So here's what I want to do. We're going to spend about a minute in silent prayer. I'm going to let you open that up to God. God, here's my concern. Here's my uncertainty. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm anxious about, Lord. Because if this doesn't take care of, here's my concern. And then turn it over to him and watch him work. And then I'm going to have a short prayer. Give God your concern. Give him your uncertainties right now as we pray. Oh, dear God, our Father, I know you're hearing many prayers right now. Prayers of people that may be experiencing some uncertainties in their life. And Lord, I pray we've offered them to you. And you know our concerns and why we need help in these areas. And our concern of what might happen if we don't take these uncertain times in a positive way and turn them over to you. And Lord, I pray you will give peace to those who have offered prayer right now, lifting them up to you. They may be anxious, they may be worried, they may be concerned about these uncertainties, and that's not unusual. Lord, I pray you'll remove that. And in place of that, give them your peace. The understanding that you are in control of every circumstance of life, especially those that we have no control over. Help us to take everything to you, Lord, and grant us your peace. In the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.